We're going to finish this chapter if we get done early, and then we're going to have more fellowship time. I'm not getting into chapter 18 today. We got through the first 10 verses. If you recall, verses 1 through 4 contained Ahithophel's second piece of advice to Absalom. Remember that Ahithophel was David's favorite counselor, but he never did get over the fact that David had killed Uriah and committed adultery with his granddaughter Bathsheba. And so he planned revenge, and in chapter 17, he basically usurped the authority of Absalom, the supposed king, and took charge because he wanted revenge now. That's what verse 1 is talking about. Do it now. Let's get 12,000 men together. Notice all the let me's and I wills in the first couple of verses. I will, I will, I will, I will. So it was all about him. Back in chapter 5 of 2 Samuel, beginning with verse number 1, the Bible says, "Then came all the tribes of Israel to David unto Hebron, and spake, saying, Behold, we are thy bone and thy flesh. Also in time past, when Saul was king over us, thou wast he that leddest out and broughtest in Israel. And the Lord said to thee, Thou shalt feed or shepherd my people Israel, and thou shalt be a captain or a ruler over Israel. So all the elders of Israel came to the king to Hebron. And King David made a league or cut a covenant with them in Hebron before the Lord. And they anointed David king over Israel." With that in mind, especially, so all the elders of Israel came to the king and they made a covenant. Back to chapter 17 and verse number 4. "And the saying pleased Absalom well and all the elders of Israel." What do you see there? What happened? Didn't they cut a covenant with David back in Hebron? Well, now Absalom has usurped the authority of the king and became king himself, at least he thought he was. And the elders were a part of it all. The elders of Israel turned on David. And of course, they will ultimately pay the price. So Ahithophel's plan sounded very good to them. Well, David had sent his friend Hushai, the Archite, and so Absalom, and God was the one prompting him to do this. So we need to hear from Hushai and see what he has to say. And so Hushai had a different plan. God, beginning with verse 17, going through verse 13, God took control providentially as he led Hushai into what he wanted him to say. And his counsel was quite a bit different than Ahithophel. He said, "Nah, 12,000, that's not enough. We need for you to, you're the king, call everyone from the far north all the way down to the south. Let's get a gigantic army together." Now, of course, could that be done in a day? That'd take some time, wouldn't it? All the way from Dan to Beersheba, calling an army together. So that, of course, was part of Hushai's plan to give David time to escape, to get across the other side of the Jordan, him and all the people that were with him. And so that's exactly what happened. So we're going to start with... verse 11. Verse 10 mentions that David's men would be on guard and set ambushes. Hushai said. That's what David would do. So we need more than just 12,000. A small army wouldn't work. So if we can get George on the phone, maybe he could read the first. Rebecca, I know he would. If you would take 11 through 15, And then I need somebody to take 16 through 20, Miss Sherry. And then 21 through 25. Scotty, I see that hand way back there. I see it waving. And then 26 to 29. Billy, you want to take those?
Sure.
26 to 29. All right, go ahead, Becca.
What am I doing, 11 through 15?
Uh-huh.
Therefore, I counsel that all Israel be generally gathered unto thee, from Dan even to Beersheba, as the sand that is by the sea for multitude, and that thou go to battle in thine own person. So shall we come upon him in some place where he shall be found, and we will light upon him as the dew falleth on the ground. And of him and of all the men that are with him, there shall not be left so much as one. Moreover, if he be gotten into a city, then shall all Israel bring ropes to that city, and we will draw it into the river until there be not one small stone found there. And Absalom and all the men of Israel said, the counsel of Hushai the Archite is better than the counsel of Ahithophel. For the Lord had appointed to defeat the good counsel of Ahithophel, to the intent that the Lord might bring evil upon Absalom. Then said Hushai unto Zadok and to Abiathar the priests, thus and thus did Ahithophel counsel Absalom and the elders of Israel, and thus have I counseled.
Now therefore send quickly and tell David, saying, lodge not this night in the plains of the wilderness, but speak to the lest the king be swallowed up and all people that are with him. Now Jonathan and Ahimaaz stayed by Engrogel, for they might not be seen to come into the city. And a wench went and told them, and they went and told King David. Nevertheless, the lad saw them and told Absalom, but they went both of them away quickly and came to the man's house by Hurom, which had a well in his court. After they went down, and the woman took and spread a covering over the well's mouth and spread ground corn thereon, and the thing was not known. And when Absalom's servants came to the woman to that house, they said, where is Ahimaaz and Jonathan? And the woman said unto them, they be gone over the brook of water. And when they sought and could not find them, they returned to Jerusalem.
It came to pass after they were departed, that they came out of the well, and went and told King David, and said unto David, arise and pass quickly over the water, for thus hath Ahithophel and counseled against you. Then David arose and all the people that were with him, and they passed over Jordan. By the morning light there lacked not one of them that was not gone over Jordan. And when Ahithophel saw that his counsel was not followed, he saddled his ass and arose and got him home to his house, to his city, put his household in order, and hanged himself, and died, and was buried in the sepulcher of his father. Then David came to Mahanaim, and Absalom passed over Jordan, he and all the men of Israel with him. And Absalom made Amasa captain of the host instead of Joab, which Amasa was a man's son, whose name was Ithream, Israelite, that went into Abigail, the daughter of Nahash, sister of Zeruiah, Joab's mother.
So Israel and Absalom encamped in the land of Gilead. Now it happened, when David had come to Mahan, that Shobai, the son of Nahash from Rabbah of the people of Ammon, Machir, the son of Amiel from Lodibar, and Barzillai, the Gileadite from Rogelim, brought beds and basins, earthen vessels and wheat, barley and flour, parched grain and beans, lentils and parched seeds, honey and curds, sheep and cheese of the herd, for David and the people who were with him to eat. For they said, the people are hungry and weary and thirsty in the wilderness.
All right, thank the four of you. Hold your place here. Turn back to Psalm 33 for just a minute, or you can stay where you're at, and I'll be right back, either way you want to do it. But Psalm 33, reminds us of God's counsel and God's direction. And no doubt, David certainly was trusting in this. In verses 10 and 11, as he raised up Hushai, and he had a plan, of course. The Lord bringeth the counsel of the heathen to naught. He maketh the devices of the people of none effect. The counsel of the Lord standeth forever, and the thoughts are the plans of his heart to all generations. So God raised up Hushai, the friend of David, who came up with a plan that would give David time to escape, and also all those that were with him. And so Yahweh's counsel, as we will see, will prevail. And from the very beginning, Absalom was doomed to defeat. And of course, Ahithophel knew. He knew that David was God's man. He knew that. He allowed hatred and vengeance and taking things into his own hands to overwhelm him. And he, of course, ended up dead because of it. All right, so letter A, if you're keeping an outline, Hushai's counsel prevailed, verses 1 through 14. His counsel prevailed. But though his counsel prevailed, they were still cautious in case, because, you know, Absalom could change his mind and say, nah, I think we'll go ahead and go with Ahithophel's plan. Let's take the 12,000. Let's go ahead and take care of David now. Because the only thing left for Absalom was to make sure that David died. If he didn't die, there was a good chance he was going to come back and regain the kingship. So he said, man, we got to do something about that. We don't want my father to get back on the throne. And so that's what we read about in verses 1 through 14. All right, in verse number 11, as I mentioned, Hushai said, we need more than 12,000 soldiers. And you know what he did? He played some mind games with Absalom. Absalom had a lot of pride, didn't he? And so he played some games with him. He said, you know what? I'm going to appeal to his imagination. I want him to kind of think, you know, it reminds me of the Golden Girls. Some of you have watched the Golden Girls back in the day. And remember Grandma? And she would say, picture this, Sicily, 1922. Remember that? Well, that's kind of what Hushai did here. Hey, Absalom, picture this. You're marching along with a huge army, gathered together from Dan all the way to Beersheba. And you see David out in the distance, and you know that you're leading the army, not some other man. You, the king, you're leading the army, and you're going to march, and you're going to get David, and you're going to kill him, and all of the whole lot of them, kill them all. And so you can see Absalom, you know, thinking, whoa, man, I'm going to look like a real big shot. This is going to be great. I'm going to be so popular. And so we read in verse number 12, so shall we come upon him in some place where he shall be found, and we will light upon him as the dew falleth on the ground, and of him and all the men that are with him, there shall not be left so much as one. All would be wiped out. With a large army, a difficult surprise attack was not necessary. We could fall on David's men in a wide area and wipe them all out. Which leads us to be David's successful plan. Or you could say David's successful spy plan. Verses 15 through 22. David and his people were camped at the fords, the narrow and or shallow spots there on the Jordan River, 20 miles from Jerusalem. They had two runners, Jonathan and Ahimaaz, We're waiting at En Rogel, a spring in the Kidron Valley on the border between Benjamin and Judah, less than 1 mile southeast of Jerusalem. In verse number 13, more if he'd be gotten into a city. Let's say that because David would have a lot of time to get away, let's say he and his people went into the city, a walled city. He said, that's no problem. Look at the size of the army we're going to have. So we're just going to take some hooks, and we're going to tie them to some rope, and we'll swing them things up on the wall and grab a hold of that wall, and we got so many men, we will pull the wall down. What do you think of that? Huh? Yeah, they had some grand ideas. But, you know, Hushai wanted to answer any kind of, well, what about if they escape and they get into a walled city? What are we going to do then? We'll be had. Now we'll pull the wall down. What a demonstration of power that would be for you, Absalom. Think about how big your head will be then. Yeah, all Israel will bring ropes to that city. We'll draw it or drag it under the river, the whole wall. We'll just drag it on out of there into the river until there be not one small stone found there. And Absalom and all the men of Israel said, the counsel of Hushai the Archite is better than the counsel of Ahithophel. And then there's a parenthesis, a little explanation from the author of 2 Samuel. For the Lord hath appointed to defeat the good counsel of Ahithophel. That's why I read Psalm 33. And to the intent that the Lord might bring evil upon Absalom. Remember, David had prayed that the plans of Ahithophel would be thwarted. And so he set some spies up in Jerusalem. And Hushai, of course, was the main one. So Hushai went to Zadok and Abiathar the priests, who are then filled in by Hushai about both plans, both Ahithophel's plan and his plan, just in case Absalom changes his mind and uses Ahithophel's plan. Now, therefore, verse 16, send quickly and tell David, lodge not this night in the plains of the wilderness, but speedily pass over. Lest the king be swallowed up, and all the people that are with him. So he said, you need to move from west to east. In case Ahithophel's plan is used, you need to be out of there. And Jonathan and Ahimaaz stayed by En Rogel, which I read a little while ago, an explanation of this, that for they might not be seen to come into the city. And a wench, another great KJV word, talking about a servant woman, a wench. It doesn't sound very flattering, does it? Hey, wench! Well, this wench went and told them, and they went and told King David. Remember, Jonathan was Abiathar, the priest's son. Ahimaaz was Zadok, the priest's son. And they were there to carry news back and forth from David to Jerusalem and vice versa. Well, unfortunately, a lad saw them. A young man saw them. He recognized them both. But they went both quickly, came to a man's house in Bahurim, who had a well, and many translations say a cistern, which is probably more accurate. They had a cistern. They went into the cistern. It was covered up with cloth, and then on top of the cloth was put some grain. KJV says corn. It was grain, which was not uncommon. They would spread the grain out, and it would dry. And so if somebody came after them and saw the grain, they would think nothing of it, which exactly happened just that way. The woman took and spread a covering over the cistern's mouth and spread grain thereon, and the thing was not known. And when Absalom's servants came to the woman to the house and said, "Where is Ahimaaz and Jonathan?" And the woman said unto them, "Oh, they went that away," pointing in the opposite direction. And when they had sought, they searched and searched, couldn't find them. They went back to Jerusalem, and you would have thought that Absalom would have freaked out over that, but he didn't, surprisingly. It's interesting to note that the woman did a similar thing as Rahab back in Jericho, remember? She hid the spies, and so this woman kind of followed her lead, if you please. And it came to pass after they were departed, they came up out of the cistern and went and told King David and said unto David, "Arise and pass quickly over the water, for thus hath Ahithophel counseled against you." So again, they're making sure that they both plans are covered. Ahithophel's plan might end up being the one that they would use. All right, let's see if there's anything in my notes I want to add before we go on. Zadok and Abiathar told that woman, that wench, who told Jonathan and Ahimaaz, tell David to cross the Jordan as soon as he possibly could in case they decided to go with Ahithophel's plan because it would be disastrous. So they ran a mile south. I mentioned the young man who saw them. Two guards were sent after the two spies. And, of course, they were hidden by that woman residing in a house in Bahurim. And she sent the guards off in the wrong direction. So we've seen A, Hushai's counsel prevailed, verses 1 through 14. B, David's successful spy plan, verses 15 through 22. And then see Ahithophel's untimely passing. Verse number 23. Ahithophel saw that his counsel was not followed. And some would think that that's the reason why he killed himself. But it's not. He saddled his ass and arose and got him home to his house, to his city. Put his household in order. And went out and hanged himself and died and was buried in the sepulchre of his father. Since his plan was not followed, he was a wise man. Remember, he was David's counselor, his favorite counselor, his wisest counselor. But he had lost his way because he was filled with hate and filled with the spirit of revenge, and a root of bitterness had sprung up in him. So he knew that Absalom would lose. He knew it. He says, This plan of Hushai, it's not going to work. And then when David retook the throne, he knew he would be in serious trouble. Did he not? So he killed himself, took the easy way out. David came to Mahanaim, and Absalom passed over Jordan, he and all the men of Israel with him. Can learn from this, of course, that vengeance never pays. What does the Bible say about vengeance? Who does it belong to? To the Lord himself. There was a time when Ahithophel had lost his way. And I want you to think about this man who for years and years served David, walked with God, was a man of honor and integrity. And he allowed that spirit of hatred to overwhelm him, and instead of serving the Lord, he fell servant to his own wicked desires. It's important that we finish well. How many pastors have you read about that started out really good, maybe served the Lord for decades, and fell at the end of their ministry? And I pray, God, don't let that happen to me. Don't let me disgrace your name in the end of my life. But it can happen to any of us, right? Serve the Lord for years and years, maybe decades, and then something happens and we give up on God and we turn away from him in the latter days of our lives. And it might be because of the same thing. Maybe we are engulfed with a spirit of hatred and a desire for vengeance. We in America are good at get-evenism, right? Vengeance never pays. We have to be on guard. Which leads us to number four, David's friends provided. David's friends provided, verses 24 through 29. So David and his followers came to Mahanaim, who was helped by Shobai, Maker, Barzillai, who brought possessions. And this had happened before, where God sent someone with some provisions. It reminds us, no matter what our situation, if we are faithful to our God, did God promise to provide our needs? And he did it again for David and his company. David came to Mahanaim, and Absalom passed over the Jordan, he and all the men of Israel with him. And Absalom made Amasa. Remember, Joab had gone with, he was the commander of the army, and he went with David. So Absalom needed a new commander, and he chose Amasa of the host instead of Joab, which Amasa was a man's son whose name was Ithra, an Israelite, that went in to Abigail, the daughter of Nahash, sister to Zeruiah, Joab's mother. So Amasa was Abigail's, not David's Abigail, it's a different Abigail. He was Abigail's son of David's sister or half-sister. You can read about it as well in 1 Chronicles 2:17. So this man, Amasa, would have been David's nephew. And Amasa was Absalom's cousin. Got all that? There'll be a quiz later in the lesson. Yeah, that's a lot of stuff there. Let's just put it this way: David and Amasa and Absalom, they were all related, were they not? We know that Absalom was David's son. So Absalom's army was commanded by Amasa. Let me say it again, just in case you're interested. David's nephew and Joab's cousin. So we find here son fighting against father, Absalom against David, uncle against nephew, cousin against cousin, citizen against citizen. What does that remind you of? Civil War. I can't even imagine how horrible that was. Bloodiest war in American history, right? By far. So Absalom's army crossed the Jordan expecting to meet David somewhere around the forest of Ephraim, about 3 miles northwest of Mahanaim. So Israel, verse 26, and Absalom pitched in the land of Gilead, the high eastern area. They camped there east of the Jordan. And it came to pass when David was come to Mahanaim that Shobai, the son of Nahash of Reba, of the children of Ammon, and Machir, the son of Amiel, of Lodabar, and Barzillai, according to the way they break it down here in this Cambridge Bible, the Gileadite of Rogelim, who was a wealthy benefactor of David, brought beds and basins, earthen vessels, wheat, barley, flour, parched grain, beans, lentils, and parched pulse, or some translations have roasted seeds. Sounds pretty good, doesn't it? Nothing like a good batch of roasted seeds. Sunflower seeds. Huh? There you go. When I started on my diet, which I've gotten really sloppy since I hurt my back and couldn't do a whole lot, so I started eating more. Yeah. I bought a gigantic bag of all kinds of different seeds. It's supposed to be really good for you. Some are teeny weeny. You can barely see them. Look like little specks. And I dump them on, like if I make a, I go get a batch of green beans or something and put them in the microwave, that, what do you call those? The bird's eye that you can put in the microwave. They're pretty good. And I'll put a bunch of seeds on top. And they get caught in your gums underneath your, you know, it's really great. All my teeth will fall out, but I'm healthy. And honey and butter, or some translations have curds, and sheep, the cheese of kine. I had somebody give me a little small little log with nuts around it, and it's goat cheese. How many of you had goat cheese? Is it any good? I don't know. Make it, just the thought of it makes my stomach start flipping. I don't know why. It shouldn't. I mean, it's an animal that you know, it's milk. Is it salty?
It's creamy.
Is it creamy? You've had it?
Yeah.
What's the flavor like?
It's a little pungent.
Oh, I'm not a pungent guy.
But the Greeks make good goat cheese.
Not horrible.
Really?
At least try it.
Not if it's pungent. I don't even like, what's the cheese with all the holes in it?
Swiss.
Yeah, that's nasty. It's like eating feet. Ugh. Anyway, so I'll bring the little log. Anybody wants that little log of cheese? You want it, Scotty?
I love cheese. I love all cheese. I
like mild cheese. I'm just not a, like sharp cheddar, no, I can't do it. I can do it, but I don't like it. Blue cheese, oh man, you talk about something that turned my stomach. Limburger, I mean, that stuff's nasty. Is it good?
Cheese basket for Christmas.
Huh?
Yeah.
One of you that hates me is going to come next week with a gigantic basket of stinky cheese. Here you go, preacher. I ain't see it now.
When Pop and I got married, it's not that we ran around with and his wife. We were going on vacation together, and he put, what's the name of it? Under our car seat. It was about 500 degrees outside. That Limburger.
Oh!
It was so awful. We thought, what in the world is this?
All you would have needed was a bowl of fish heads next to it.
Alarm clock off. He put the alarm clock over their
pants.
That's a true friend.
I tell you what, that is a friend. Last part of verse 29, and for the people that were with him to eat, for they said the people are hungry and weary and thirsty in the wilderness. So God provides. Hallelujah. Questions, comments? Anybody? Words of wisdom?
What David have with that 300 men?
Didn't say. Nope. Not that I saw. I mean, I can forget, because I don't know if you've noticed, I could forget something. But I don't think he... Now he's going to number the people here directly. All right. Prayer list.
Scott, get on.
George? Where are you?
Everybody misses George.
We do. Try you told me that.
I don't know what happened, so please.
You still don't know?
No, I don't. And I don't think we will, because I think that there's a normal time to die.
Thank you, Scotty. What's her name?
Thank you. Her name is Angela.
Angela?
Mm-hmm. That's the one that found me. Every night since that's happened, a sheriff's ridden by her house in the shine of bright lights. So I really don't, we don't know what's going on.
Hmm. All right, continue to pray for the church. We have one more Sunday left this year, then we're going to enter into a new year, and I'm praying that God will give us a great banner year. Souls saved, people added to the church. We had a lot of people visiting week after week. We have one couple that has been visiting since July of 2024 and still have not joined the church. I don't know what it is about church membership today. Is it commitment? What is it? What's the deal? I don't understand it. I've tried to understand it, and I've even tried to talk to this person, but I'm not getting anywhere. The subject has always changed. Yeah, it's weird. Pray for our nation. I think God is going to give us as a nation, not to say there won't be issues. There will be, as long as there's far left radical Marxists. There's going to be issues. But I think it's going to be a great year. What do you think? I just got it. I can feel it. As my dad would say in his lumbago. I have no idea what that is, but I can feel it. Israel and Ukraine, pray for that situation, especially Ukraine. Putin is a madman, isn't he? Gotten worse and worse and worse and worse. Pray for law enforcement and ICE, first responders. Pray for those nations that are having to deal with Christian persecution far beyond the couple of nations we've been praying for. Pray for our missionaries. Pray for Mark Rhonda and Rhonda's mom. Gary's sister, Darlene, I talked to her Friday. Sounded good. She is amazing. It's amazing. She didn't need any platelets or blood. Her numbers were pretty good. So that's the Lord. There's no other way around it. It's got to be the Lord. There's no other way. Got a call from Leonard this morning. He's got some kind of stomach issue. I got a text from my daughter, Rebecca. I don't know if you ever met her. But her husband, George, gets these spells with severe stomach pain on the side. It could be, you would think if it was diverticulitis that they would have saw that when they did the test, but they didn't find any. But anyway, he's in a lot of pain. So pray for George. Got a text from the Butlers last night late. The sickness is going through the family, so they're not going to be here. Kathy gave me a good report about her tear duct, and everything's going really, really well. Got a good report. Pray for Ronnie. Talked to Ronnie this week, and he's about to say his back bothers him in the wintertime, but his internal issues, and plus he's diabetic. I didn't realize he's diabetic as well as everything else. So, but he sounded pretty good. I'm going to go by and see him over the holidays. Pray for his great niece, Marissa, up in Pennsylvania. Pray for George's aunt, Barb, with kidney cancer, and she faces surgery January 26th. Rebecca Dawson's cousin, Penny, is home. She's going to have some come in for rehab, and then she's going to go into rehab after that. So pray for her cousin, Penny. Brian said his finger still is not fully inflated. He tried to handle a 350-pound transmission himself, which he's done many times, right, without incident. This time it was slipping off the jack. He tried to catch it, and it ended up his finger between the floor and the 350-pound transmission. And on top of all that, it was his pinky. Yeah. So it kind of squishes pretty easy, doesn't it? But he said he's doing okay, so that's good. Pray for Michael Johnston. Anybody here put that name on the prayer list? Michael Johnston? Stage 3 cancer. Pray for Michael. Someone else put too. Joe, J-O, suffering from grief. And then had sister and husband there. Anybody here put that on here? No? And then Glenn Jones, cousin of Rebecca, he 64 years old, driving a big rig, started having chest pains. Thankfully, he had sense enough to pull over, call dispatch. Dispatch sent an ambulance to pick him up, and he needed some stents in his heart, some stents to pray for. He's going to retire, by the way, he decided. Somebody suggested, think maybe you ought to retire from driving a truck. He said, yeah, I'm going to. So that's good. And then Kathy's niece, Angela, that's been about a week and a half ago, right?
It's been
half. Yeah.
They're thinking about the 9th. They really don't know how long it was. Oh, wow.
This was her sister, her brother Donald's daughter, Angela, was found dead in, actually, it was his home that he left for her. And don't know how long she was there sitting in a chair and had died. So pray for the family, if you would, please. All right, let's stand together for prayer. Heavenly Father, we praise you for who you are, a God that loves us and is always available as you are eager to hear our cry. And we ask, Lord, that you would provide the needs of all these with physical issues that are homesick today, that have tests coming up or surgeries coming up. We pray you give the doctors wisdom as some are facing surgeries. We pray, Lord, for those that need comfort through the loss of loved ones or some other form of suffering or grief. We pray, Lord, that you would steer our leaders. We see some good signs, but there is still much that needs to be done. Holy Spirit of God, please draw all of our leaders into a right relationship with you, that they would lead us according to your plan and purpose and not their own. We pray for protection for those that are serving our nation, both in the military, those first responders, those that are in law enforcement. Lord, please put a hedge of protection around them. And we pray, Lord, that you would bless now the coming hour as we again look to your word and we talk about our Savior whom we love so much. God, help us to be faithful and honor him in the way we live our lives. As we enter a new year, which represents new beginnings, as you tarry your coming and as you allow us to live on, Lord, help us to be found faithful, committed, looking to you for leadership, desiring your will and not our own will, your purpose, not our own purposes, our own desires. Lord, we love you. We thank you for your church, for those that are a part of it. We thank you, Lord, that you love us with an everlasting love, and we look forward to your soon coming in the rapture, Lord. And I pray if there be anyone here today that's not ready to meet you, that today would be the day of salvation. We thank you, we praise you, we worship you. In Jesus' name, amen.